You are so bluffing. You do not have a clue who broke it.
Oh, no, it was Andy.
Oh, you can tell that just by looking at his face.
Absolutely. If he doesn't confess to me, I'm going to play with his mind. Till he snaps.
That sounds like psychological torture.
Also called effective parenting.
Welcome to the Dan Aykroyd Podcast. I'm your host, Scott White. What are we talking about this time? We're talking about the pilot episode, Urges and Lies, of Soul Man, Dan Aykroyd's short-lived sitcom in the late 90s. It actually ran from 1997 to 1998. It officially ran for two seasons. But that's sort of not true, because the first season was only three episodes. First season, three episodes. The second season, 22 episodes. And that's what we have. This was Dan Aykroyd's first regular TV appearance in Saturday Night Live. And he plays so we're looking at the pilot episode. I'm sorry, I'm a little scattered here at the beginning. We're going to focus. We're going to get laser focused and get this podcast on its way. Dan Aykroyd plays a minister, a hip, cool minister. That's his character. He's not your ordinary, everyday minister. No, he rides a motorcycle, and he likes music, and he's not dull. They are busting the stereotype of your typical, average minister in this sitcom. It's set in Detroit. I didn't really realize why. I thought it was set in Detroit because it was, you know, Dan Aykroyd, the blues. He liked blues music, and Motown was from Detroit. I thought that might have had something to do with it. I was kind of surprised because I am actually from the Detroit area in Michigan. But I realized that the reason it's set in Detroit is that this character, Dan Aykroyd's character, was on Home Improvement. Al actually goes to his church. So the character was in Home Improvement, Tim Allen from Michigan, Home Improvement set in Michigan in the Detroit area. So that's why it's set in Detroit. Dan Aykroyd, this character is actually a spinoff from a character that was on Home Improvement. If you want to hear more about Dan Aykroyd and Tim Allen being together, you can listen to my Christmas with the Cranks podcast. But let's get into this one. So this is the pilot episode. This is the first episode called Urges and Lies. It opens up with the typical sitcom. Dan Aykroyd is in his home, and he's making these lame, these were dad jokes before dad jokes were a thing. His eldest son has his feet up on the table. Son, that's not a hammock. His younger son spills some milk on the counter. He slurps it up with his mouth. While all this is happening, there is a female reporter in his house. Now, she's doing an article on him, on his word is out that he's not your typical minister. And she is doing an article on him for a newspaper in Detroit. If this was real life, I believe she probably would have done it at his office or at the church. Because it just seems really weird that she would have come to his house to do this. But the reason that she had to come to his house is we have to introduce all the children. This is a way to introduce all the children in the show. Dan Aykroyd is, and this is a recurring theme with Dan Aykroyd, he is a widower with four kids. And how do we know that he's a widower with four kids? Well, his daughter, one of his four children, is trying to set him up with the reporter. Right here.
Now, Meredith, honey, we're not bothering Bridget, are we?
No, we were having a nice little talk.
She's not married.
I hope you didn't say anything that would embarrass me.
No, I told you you were desperately in love
desperately lonely, huh?
Oh, well, I wouldn't say I'm desperate. Any 44-year-old widower with four wild kids, a bald spot and a bad back, has no problem attracting women.
And as I said, this is a recurring theme I've come across. My girl and stepmother with an alien, Dan Aykroyd, is a widower with children. It just seems weird. It's like, these were all when Dan Aykroyd was in his late 30s, early 40s. You don't get many widowers. I mean, I know it does happen, but you don't get many widowers in their late 30s, early 40s. It's like, what kind of women are Dan Aykroyd picking? Or what is happening to the women? I think we need to look into Dan Aykroyd's fictional wives in the movies and television shows that he's making, because they all seem to die. And I don't know. And, I mean, I know why they have to die, because now Dan Aykroyd is with the children. If he was divorced, then we could have, then there would be the dynamic. The kids could go stay with their mother, and it would make Dan Aykroyd less of a sympathetic character. It's always, you know, if you're a widower and you're a nice guy, you're a very sympathetic character. But if you're divorced, there's always a tint of, well, this might have been his fault. And you don't want that when you're trying to get a sympathetic character, even though it might add a little dimension to the character. Character Writing 101 by Scott White. Now Dan Aykroyd and the reporter, they're in his study together, and they're talking about his sermons, and he's talking about how he likes to use music in a sermon, and now they get into... She finds a snow globe on his desk. And she's like, this snow globe has a tombstone in it. And he says, yes, I collect tombstones of my favorite dead artists' grave sites. Yes, so he has a collection. And he's like, here's the Big Bopper, but my favorite is Elvis. And of course, Elvis is gone. And this serendipity, just the fact that she's there, they find the broken Elvis snow globe on the floor. And he calls and he grabs an air horn. That's his shtick in this. Whenever he wants to get the kids together, he grabs an air horn. And he grabs the air horn and he lines the kids up. And he says, and he asks all of them, did you break the snow globe? And they all say, no, 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 no. And Dan Aykroyd looks at them and he goes, I know who has done it. I know who's lying to me. And I'm going to give you 24 hours for the guilty person to confess. Now you may all go. The reporter goes, you have no idea which child did it. And he's like, oh yeah, it was the one kid. I can't remember their names. I should have written them down, but I didn't. But he goes, it was so-and-so. I know it was so-and-so. And if he doesn't confess, I'm going to mess with his mind. And she's like, isn't that psychological torture? And he's like, no, it's good parenting. So this was just before you couldn't do anything or say anything like that in TV, or else it would be construed as mean and psychological torture. Now the thing with me is, why would he do this? This is all in front of a stranger. He literally met this woman like a couple hours ago, if that. So he's disciplining his children and saying he's going to do psychological... Now, you know what? I think it's okay to do psychological torture to your kids. But you don't want to admit it in front of a complete stranger. Maybe that's something, you know, maybe that's something you keep in-house when you're disciplining your children. We get to the credits. Soul Man, the very short, condensed version of the song Soul Man. And I would have liked to have heard the version that the Blues Brothers sang. But it's not, it's a generic version of a Soul Man. We cut back from the beginning credits, and his little daughter is trying to pour some apple juice, and he's like, let me help you with that, and he spills it all over, and she's like, I could have done that, and he goes, but could you have done this? And he slurps it up. So, callback! Okay, it was a lame joke, but it was a callback, and I am a huge, huge fan of callback, so I'm going to give them a break on that, because it was a callback, and I love callbacks. So he's preparing tea for the reporter, who's still in the study, and then the two smallest children, they get into it. They start going at each other, and here's the thing. I've always had a thing with child actors, and the really, really young child actors, and it's not their fault, but they're not acting. It never comes off as real. They're not acting. What's happening is they are given lines, and then they say lines, and that's it. You can tell that they have really no idea what's going on around them. They're just saying, here, say this, and then do that, and then they run out of the scene. It's just to convey that he has rambunctious children, that he's going to have to, you know, that's going to be the one of the shticks of the show, rambunctious children, and he's going to have to use his heavenly ways to keep these children out of the hands of the devil. Well, he takes the coffee into the study. Before that happened, his daughter said, are you going to invite this woman to the dance at the church? And Dan Aykroyd says, no, I'm not going to do that. Then when he goes into the study, his little daughter starts pressing her face against the window, you know, and mouthing the words, ask her to the dance, ask her to the dance. And she's like, what was that all about? And he's like, well, my daughter wants you to come to the church dance. She's like, oh, you dance? And Dan Aykroyd does a little sweet move, you know, moves his hips a little. She's like, wow, I didn't think you could do that. And he's like, because I'm a minister? And she's like, yeah, well, you think all ministers are boring. And now here's the other trope that comes in where it comes out. I'm not a boring minister. I dance. I sing. I like to have sex. Dun, dun, dun. And that's how they get on the subject. So she starts asking him about sex. Because he says, yes, I like to have sex. I'm a man. I'm like every other man. I have my urges. So that's where we get the title. Dan Aykroyd has his urges and his children have his lies. And he goes off. He goes, my wife died 3 years ago. And she's like, you haven't had sex in 3 years? Like, that's a big deal. Okay, I've gone without sex much, much longer than that. But they always have to make sex a big deal, as they do here. Sex is a big deal. In 3 years, why, that's unheard of. 3 years is sort of a shot in a bucket in my eye. And then she starts quizzing him about, well, if you can't, because he says, and I won't have sex until I'm married. We can't, you know, sex has to be done in the bonds of matrimony. And she's like, really? And then she starts quizzing him.
Are you allowed to kiss?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, of course.
Can you touch?
That would depend on where we're talking about touching.
Okay, all right. I am going to point to a part of my body, and you tell me whether you are allowed to touch it.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. Ah, safe, baby.
Okay.
Maybe. Ah, warning, warning.
Really? Never.
Let me say this. If they were on fire, I could put them out.
And of course, the last one was she pointed to her boobs. Pointed to her boobs. Which I knew was what was coming. And then she says, well, what do you do for hobbies? And he's like, I put ice down my pants. I never watched this show when it first came out, but I strongly remember I was listening to Howard Stern when this TV show came out. And he was just down on this show about how it was lame, how it was stupid. And he played that clip about how Dan Aykroyd put ice down his pants to combat not having sex for 3 years. And he thought it was the stupidest joke in the world, and I sort of have to agree with him. It wasn't the sharpest joke in the shed, I should say. So we cut to the next morning, the phone's ringing. Dan Aykroyd comes down the stairs wearing robes and fishing boots. I don't know why, it's never explained. It's just an odd look. And his oldest son is standing right by the phone, who's not answering the phone. And then Dan Aykroyd answers the phone, and it's for his oldest son. He says he can't come to the phone. He's getting his legs waxed. He's like, Dad! And he grabs the phone. And now he confronts his other son, the one that he thinks broke the snow globe. And he tells him the story about how, you know, you'll burn in hell for eternity and how long eternity is. His son is not really, he's not really scaring him with this. He actually comes back with a joke, and Dan Aykroyd says, okay, that was funny. And being older, I know a lot of parents now, and this is pretty much what they all say. When they try to discipline their child, when they say something funny, they're like, okay, I'm going to give them credit for being funny. I'm still going to discipline them, but they know that they were funny. Anyway, there's a knock on the door, and it's the bishop. It's the bishop of his church. I could have swore it was Brian Doyle Murray, but it wasn't. It was just a guy that looked exactly like Brian Doyle Murray. And he comes in, and he's got his newspaper, and the headline of that newspaper is Sex and the Single Priest. And they're like, oh, it's in here how you like sex. People are reading it. And the funniest thing is it's this newspaper, and you turn it around, and the headline, it just says sex. So apparently nothing else was going on in Detroit, or nothing else was going on in the world, because the front page headline in bold letters was Sex and the Single Priest. That was the big thing happening in Detroit on that day. Now Dan Aykroyd is angry. He's trying to get in touch with the reporter. He calls the newspaper. He asks for her. He says, well, when she gets in, can you tell her that I called? And then all of a sudden you hear, yes, that's me. Yes, I'm flattered. I'm sure you and your sister are really, really nice, but I'm not interested. So he gets offered a threesome over the phone. Because having sex with a priest is kinky, I guess. While this is going on, we cut to the older son and the son that broke the snow globe. They're playing video games. And it actually, and here's the thing. At the beginning of the show, when they lined up the kids and he's like, I know who did it. I honestly thought that he got it wrong and he was going to have to admit that he got it wrong. But he didn't. He nailed it. He knew exactly which kid did it because this kid confesses to his older brother. He's like, I did it. And his older brother is like, well, just don't say anything. From what I've gathered, from what you gather from all this, that, you know, Dan Aykroyd is a very compassionate, very loving father, and there's no reason to be scared of him. You know, you don't want your parents disappointed in you, but there's no reason. He knows the snow globe is broken. He knows one of the four kids did it. Just tell him that you broke it. Get it over with. The older son, he's supposed to be the bad influence on the family because he's just telling them, just keep your mouth shut. Just don't say anything. Like, it's going to go away. And one thing I want to address is, like, during this episode, they refer to Dan Aykroyd as a priest sometimes, and then they refer to him as a minister sometimes, which is really, really confusing because I'm not up on all religions on that, but I'm pretty sure that ministers can get married and priests cannot get married. So it was very confusing to me. Okay, well, he has to be a minister because he has four children and he's a widower, but then they keep calling him a priest. I'm like, well, then can priests get married? Is it just, and what kind of priest? I know Catholic priests can't get married, but other kind of priests, can they get married? Or is a minister and a priest the same thing in this religion? I would just say stick with it. He's either a minister or he's a priest. And I don't know if that was just a mistake that was made that got through editing, but it was very, very confusing. They kept calling him a priest and a minister. Dan Aykroyd once again confronts his son about the snow globe. Did you break the Elvis snow globe? And the son, thinking he's being smart, thinking he's got it up here, is like, well, can I talk to you as my minister instead of my dad? Dan Aykroyd's like, sure. And then he confesses, which is also confusing because I don't believe ministers take confessions. I believe priests take confessions. All the religious parts of this was confusing to me. Maybe somebody who was better versed in this would have known, But from what I gather, priests cannot get married. Ministers can get married. Priests give confession, and ministers do not give confession. They give communion, and that's where all your sins are forgiven. And that's all Scott knows about religion right there. Anyway, he asks to confess to his minister, and he says, I did break the snow globe. And the minister says, well, you are forgiven. And now the little boy says, well, can I talk to my dad? So Dan Aykroyd snaps back and, you know, hey, son, how's it going? Great, Dad. Can I have $10 for the movies tonight? And he's like, sure. And his dad goes, isn't there anything you want to tell me? And he's like, no. Because when he was having the confession, a minister and or priest cannot tell anybody about the confession. That's between that person, the priest, the minister, and God. Nobody else can know. So the son thought he had a loophole here. I'll confess to my minister, I'll be forgiven, and then I don't get any repercussion. I've tried to say repercussions three times, and I don't get any repercussions from my father. Well, Dan Aykroyd pulls a fast one on him, and he says, well, I hate to break it to you, but when you were confessing to your minister, I was listening at the door. Give me the $10 back for the movies. You're grounded. So we've settled that. We've settled the lies part of this episode. So the son is eventually punished for breaking the snow globe and not admitting it. Now we cut to the dance. Dan Aykroyd is dancing, and all of a sudden the reporter comes to the dance. And she's like, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to write it. And I've always seen episodes of movies where these reporters, it's like, I didn't mean to. It was you. It was all you. You have nobody to blame but yourself. And you're not sorry. If you were sorry, you wouldn't have written it in the first place. You wanted a big, juicy story, and you had a big, juicy story, and you wrote it. And she claims that he was telling her that as a reporter. And he's like, no, I wasn't telling you that as a reporter. I was telling you that because I was attracted to you. And she obviously knew that, but she was ignoring that just so she could have the story, because she acts really, it's like, you think I'm attractive? And he's like, yes, I think you're attractive. That's why I told you that. I was opening up to you as a person, not as a reporter. And she's like, well, I'm confused. I have to leave. So she leaves the dance. And we cut back to Dan Aykroyd's place. He comes home. The kids are still awake. He left the oldest in charge, and he's asleep on the couch, and all the little kids are outside dancing. So once again, the oldest is going to be the troublemaker in this relationship, in this dichotomy of the family. And as he sends all the kids to bed, the reporter shows up again, and she's like, I want to tell you that I am attracted to you. However, I cannot date a minister with four kids because my career comes first, and I would not be able to give you the time, you know, and the attention that you needed. And I wouldn't be able to give your children the time and the attention that they needed if it got serious. And I want to give the show credit here. They didn't hook Dan Aykroyd up with a romantic partner right away. And I believe this is the more realistic outcome of this. I don't think too many women would date a man with four children who are younger. The oldest one was 16, so it was 16 and down. If it was older children that were out of the house, that might be something different. But to date a man with four children who he's going to be, you know, he's going to be stuck with for the next 10 to 12 years. This is exactly how that would have worked out. And I want to give the show credit, and they shake hands and like, we're going to stay friends. And she leaves, and Dan Aykroyd walks back into the house and says, I need to find some ice. So that's two callbacks. Then we go, there's the post-credit scene where Dan Aykroyd is now, he's doing a sermon and he's using a devil puppet, and it's just really, really lame. I mean, the ending is just really, really, listen to some of it.
My faithful congregation, I was struggling to come up with an inspiration for my sermon today, but unfortunately nothing came, so it looks like you'll all get to go home early. Oh, excuse me. Hello? Yes, Lord. You want me to speak about what? Temptations. You mean the singing group? Oh, the temptations we all face in everyday life. Oh, great idea. Very good. Anything else you'd like me to tell them? Call any time. Operators are standing by. Will do. Thanks. Well, we all struggle with temptation. I certainly know that I do. But then, of course, you've all been reading about that. In the letter of James, it says, "Blessed be the man who endureth temptation." I don't think there's anybody that could disagree with that.
I do. I say, have fun. Money, party, chicks. Why endureth anything?
Please. The bishop is in church.
Hi, bishop.
And it's just not funny at all. It was a really weak way to end the show, to end the first show. And then that was it. That was the first episode, the pilot episode of Soul Man. And what did I think of it? Dan Aykroyd is really likable in this. He comes across, his character is very likable. The children are kind of annoying. They haven't fleshed out the supporting cast yet. He gets more of a supporting cast later in the show. It's a typical 1990s sitcom. It's not breaking any new ground. It was paced well. We kept moving from, we moved from place to place to place. There's always something different on the screen every couple of minutes to keep your attention. But it's typical. It's 90s. It's just sort of blah fun. That's the best way I can put it. Just blah fun. It's not going to challenge you intellectually, but it's not going to insult your intelligence too much either. It's more of a, eh, that's what I got. It's an eh. But as I said, Dan Aykroyd is very, very likable. So if you like Dan Aykroyd, you'll probably like this show. Later in the episodes, they introduce Anthony Clark. As some of you may know from Yes, Dear, they introduce him as a younger priest, where the roles are reversed, where usually it's the younger priest who is the weird, outspoken, progressive. The older priest is like set in his ways and blah, 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 we're not going to do that. Blah, blah, blah. Well, they reverse it where Dan Aykroyd is the progressive, let's do weird things priest. And what the fuck was his name? I just said it. Anyway, the young guy comes in and he's the square. You know, he's a square. It's like, no, the Bible says this, we got to do that. These episodes, not all the episodes are on YouTube, but you can find the ones. And so just check out a couple of episodes. You know, if you like it, you can watch as many as you want. And if you don't like it, you've wasted, you know, 22 minutes of your life. So that's it. This has been another episode of the Dan Aykroyd Podcast. I appreciate everybody tuning in, and we'll catch you here next time. God bless.
To support this podcast, please go to www.patreon.com/ScottWhite and give what you're able. If you're listening on iTunes, please give a review. That should help people find this podcast. And no matter what services you use to listen, please leave feedback. We always want to improve. Thank you for listening to the Dan Aykroyd Podcast.
Truckload, and when you get it, you got something, so don't worry. This has been a Cross the Streams Media Podcast.